Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really couldn't have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Show. We are once again live here representing Crave Wrestling. I am Chris Featherstone, and ladies and gentlemen, it is episode 114. We will just continue to have the greatest fun, the greatest amount of excitement, and another episode underway. We have a lot to cover this week, and of course we have the flavor of the week. The flavor of the week this week, we're going to talk about five of the top shows in the past 20 years outside of Raw. Very interesting topic today. Once again, we're going to talk about the five shows that we're going to talk about the five top shows outside of Raw. We're going to get started into the trivia. The trivia is, the first trivia question is, what wrestler was known as Samba Simba? What wrestler was known as Samba Simba? It should be a very, very interesting show. Lots of fun, lots of excitement. And Payback, the second annual Payback this year, and we also have Raw, where we got a lot to talk about that as far as Raw, particularly the end of Raw. That was something else, to say the least. That was something else, and so we definitely have some fun to. We got some fun topics to talk about today. Again, chat room, we are live. Go there. Of course, tweet at Crave Wrestling. We are also live and in living color. Funky like a monkey. Ooh, if you will. There's my Dusty Rhodes reference for the week. And hopefully we don't get a Jim Cornette reference from Derek, our Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent. But we're going to go underway real quick. I'm going to say it in the beginning. Shout out to our wonderful supporters, our support team. We have WeAreWrestling.net, of course, and the sites that I'm so proud and so pleased to write for, which is WrestlingInc.com and BleacherReport.com. Two sites that have really, really helped me out, really, really helped me draw the large fan base that Pancakes and Power Slams have. And we'll just continue to grow. We'll continue to get better and better. We are 114 episodes in, And ladies and gentlemen, it's only going to get better from here. Only going to get better from here. So we're going to have a lot of fun today, and we're just going to continue to have the greatest time. As we do always on Pancakes and Power Slams, once again, like I said, episode 114. Again, the trivia question out right now is, what wrestler was known as Samba Simba? Samba Simba. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, well, actually, we're going to go a little bit different today. We're going to do a little bit of SmackDown real quick before we bring in Derek, our Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent. We're going to do a little bit of SmackDown to lead what led into WWE Payback. And what led into WWE Payback was an interesting last man standing match. SmackDown first started with Cesaro defeating Kofi Kingston. And, of course, Kofi Kingston doesn't ever win, so that's nothing new whatsoever. So, of course, so that was strictly for the purposes of putting Cesaro over. Also, for the purposes of putting Paige over, as she defeats Tamina. Bo Dallas defeats Xavier Woods and Bruno Sammo. Actually, it was Superstar Billy Graham had some words to say about Bo Dallas in some long Facebook rant that was quite odd. Then we had El Torito defeating Jinder Mahal, which officially made him defeat every single member of 3MB, which is very, very sad. Sheamus defeating B&B, Bad News Barrett. One thing I did like was the showcase of mid-card titles, and they were showing pictures and clips of the old Intercontinental Champions and U.S. Champions. That's the stuff that we need. That is exactly the stuff that we need here to really revive those mid-card titles, like I said before. Big E defeats Titus O'Neil. Adam Rose, my boy, defeats Jack Swagger, and of course Bray Wyatt and Jimmy Uso, last man standing, was a good match. But of course Bray Wyatt's going to win there to lead him into WWE Payback, which was a very interesting pay-per-view. I thought it was a pretty solid pay-per-view. Actually, for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship not to be defended, I think they pulled it off. I think they actually surprisingly pulled it out as far as having a relatively successful pay-per-view. And what I wrote about this weekend, as well as we reported on wrestling.com, was the Thursday event, NXT TakeOver, which, by the way, congratulations to Charlotte for winning the Divas Championship and Adrian Neville for maintaining the NXT Championship against in a hard-fought battle against Tyson Kidd. But that set the bar so well that the execs and the wrestlers wanted to upstage that event. And so did it upstage the event? I think it was a solid enough pay-per-view to be successful. It wasn't very gimmick heavy. It was very wrestling oriented. The elimination match was more, you know, it was hardcore, but this is probably one of the best wrestling, from top to bottom, the best wrestling pay-per-view of the year. So I was cool with it. And so we're going to get started with the pre-show. El Torito defeating Horsewag on a hair versus mask match. Of course, this was a given. El Torito wasn't going to get rid of the mask. That's his selling point. that's basically what he that's who he is. He's a bull. So him losing his mask would basically be him losing his entire character. So he might as well not be there. Somehow Hornswoggle has like some weird Caesar mullet look now, which is quite awful. So Hornswoggle, he's he's doing what he can to make a buck. Oddly enough, the El Torito and Hornswoggle feud is growing on me.
Hey everyone, this is Derek, the Raw correspondent, Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent. El Torito and Hornswoggle, no, it's not growing on me. I think it's just kind of a sideshow act, not really getting into it as much as whatever it's supposed to be. So no, not really. I can see this as a pass and hope that it kind of gets over with soon. However, the two tag teams themselves, again, it's just an absolute... Nothing makes sense with it. The only thing that's keeping that alive is their sideshow gimmick. Kind of over it, kind of done with it. It's been going on for a couple months now, so let's maybe a couple months, a few weeks. However, not so much. How you doing this evening, Chris Featherstone?
I am doing well, sir. Good to have you as always. And episode 114 under wraps, Derek.
114. This is 2014. This is the year for Pancakes and Power Slams. We want to knock it out of the park. Everyone's going to be subscribing to this. We're going to be on all the media outlets. This is the new Tuesday Night Titans. Chris Featherstone, Derek, Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent. We're going to take this to the moon and beyond.
The new Tuesday Night Titans. We need Booker T to come endorse Pancakes and Power Slams, strictly for the purposes of saying, the new Tuesday Night Titans, sucker. That would be hilarious. We need Booker T, Derek.
We do, but we got each other for now.
That's exactly right. That was a warm and fuzzy moment, Derek. I appreciate it. Next we have Sheamus defeating Cesaro. I don't think there's any dispute that this is one of the best matches on the card. It was such a hard-hitting match. I knew that Cesaro was not going to win the title because the WWE wants to push him better, wants to push him higher, count him, you know, I think it's safe to say to count him in as far as winning the Money in the Bank next month. And so, of course, they weren't going to have him be a mid-card champion. I do like the Sheamus and Cesaro feud. I think it's fantastic. They're doing a really good job pushing the two. And Sheamus is just doing wonders reviving that U.S. title. I mean, whoa. He's doing a very, very, very good job reviving the U.S. title. Beforehand, it was Dean Ambrose. Before that, it was Kofi Kingston. And then just, you know, all the U.S. champions before then, you have your Santino Morellas, your Jack Swaggers, and Zack Ryder did a decent job reviving it, but not much. Even when Cesaro had it, he didn't do a very good job. And, of course, Zack Ryder did decent, but not very well. So the U.S. Championship has not been very good the past few years, actually. And Sheamus is doing such a fantastic job. He's a really solid mid-carder. I was actually talking to one of our previous guests, Armand, last weekend. And we were just talking about how solid a wrestler Sheamus is. The thing is, he gets the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, all the marks. They don't give him a lot of love because his character as a face, they believe, is stale. I actually disagree. I think he's doing fantastic as a face. I think they should keep him face. I think he should be the solid mid-card face of the WWE. But face or heel, no matter what you have, and that's another thing, real quick, that's another thing. That's the reason why I like baby faces so much, because I love the art of wrestling. And that's why I love, you know, there's certain heels that I really can get behind because of their character and their in-ring ability backs up their character. I dig it. But there's certain baby faces that really showcase the art of wrestling. Sheamus is one of them. Chris Jericho, of course, face or heel, he's great. But when Jericho's a face, he has amazing, amazing matches that aren't so gimmick heavy. And I just really like that component of a good, solid babyface. And Sheamus is one of them guys. Sheamus does a really, really good job putting, really reviving people's characters even. I mean, last year he had a very long feud with Alberto Del Rio. Year before, he had a really good feud with the Big Show. And when he first came in, it was, you know, him and Cena. It was, a lot of people weren't really into Sheamus, including myself, just because he was being pushed to the moon so quickly, being involved with John Cena, being involved with Triple H. The push was just too quick. But his feuds with Christian and just his feuds, like I said, with Big Show, it's really done, and Daniel Bryan even, it's done a really, really good job in having us appreciate the wrestling ability of Sheamus. And I really think he should stay a mid-card face for quite some time, revive that U.S. title, and make it prestigious again. He's doing a good job so far.
He's doing a great job. You can always get behind Sheamus. He's one of those characters. You can't hate him. You can't love him. If you do love him, great. But he just oozes with absolute talent, heart, charisma. I mean, to put a belt on him, you can't do any wrong. And the U.S. title around him just absolutely brings it to a gemstone. You got Antonio Cesaro. He's still mid-card. I can see, yeah, Money in the Bank. I get that whole thing, and that's a great angle for him. But the whole Paul Heyman, I'm not too sure. I'm still not sold on it. I don't think Paul Heyman's going to stick with this guy. Can I blame him or not? I don't know. We'll see. I mean, anything can happen. A few months from now, Brock Lesnar is going to be back. Who's going to be Cesaro? Nobody. So keep this thing abroad. And Sheamus, again, just really anybody can get behind him. I mean, it's his game. It's always his game. He's a ringleader. He can really show who's going to, you know, masquerade the whole event. So let's keep Sheamus in this brisk that he's got going right now. He's got something. He's going to keep it going. I mean, Sheamus is absolutely something that the WWE needs to hone on and just keep him around a long time. Keep a belt around him. It's going to keep interest. It's going to build a crowd. It's going to make a great show, because that's all that Sheamus knows how to do.
Yeah, and the thing is, like I said, the mid-card championship is the way to go with Sheamus right now. Keep it on him. Keep a mid-card title on him. For so long, the WWE has done a lousy job with investing in the mid-card talent, and we've even said this before on the show, the mid-card talent is usually, when you look at the mid-card talent, the somewhere there's a few people in that mid-card pool that's the future of the WWE. And you have to be risky enough, you have to be bold enough to pull some people out of that mid-card pool, and you have to really spend time investing in them. And I really think that, you know, Sheamus is, you know, he's back into that mid-card pool. But I think that the good thing about Sheamus is that he's established himself strong enough as a main eventer. He's a multi-time champion. He's been both WWE and World Heavyweight Champion. He can go back to the main event scene whenever he wants to. Again, I compare his work isn't as fluid as Jericho. He has a different style. But it's still really good. He still has a really solid work ethic to him. And another reason why I compared him to Jericho is because Jericho, he's another person who can go back to the mid-card scene and really, you know, spend time working with a Fandango, which flopped, but at least they tried, working with a Ziggler or he can work with Punk for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. So either way, he just puts in some good work, some good work ethic, and, you know, I'm a fan of Sheamus. Before he came back to the Royal Rumble, the time, you know, he was out since Money in the Bank, and before then, I was just kind of bored with him early last year because they really didn't have a good spot for him. And so to me, it was just kind of getting boring, and I just wasn't interested. Now, it's one of those things that I realize how talented he is and how beneficial he is to the business more than ever now, because he's really reviving that mid-card picture, and I like it a lot, and I really hope that they don't pull the plug and do something stupid. I tell you, the best thing, and we'll get to Big E and Rusev here soon, but I've shared this with another a few more of my colleagues. I think that there's two people that I want to see Sheamus feud against for the U.S. title. Now, one is Rusev, and I only say this because obviously they're going to do this with Rusev. Obviously, that they're going to make him somebody. Even if we don't agree with it, they're going to make Rusev a name. And I will say right now that I don't agree with it. I think that they're forcing him down our throats, and it's just not working. But at least we report on wrestling.com that they're giving him the Umaga treatment right now, and they're giving him the same template as Umaga. They really wanted to push Umaga and make him a main event star. They had him, you know, feud against Cena, and, you know, they really had some big things for Umaga. The Battle of the Billionaires, they eventually kind of fizzled down as far as his push is concerned, but what they wanted to do with Umaga, as far as we report on wrestling.com, that they're giving that same type of initial template to Rusev. Rusev, you know, to be a 6 foot, 300 pound guy, he's just, I mean, his stature, his shoulders is as wide as, you know, Texas, and he's agile. So he's got the agility. It's just that I just really think that Lana is really the only thing that's keeping him afloat at this point. But the good part of that is, like I said, we'll get to Big E versus Rusev in a minute. I'll go a little bit further into that. But the good part is, you know, he has the ability to put together a good match. And him and Sheamus, I think, would work for the U.S. title, especially since Lana talks about Vladimir Putin and all the time, and she downgrades United States title, and it could easily go into a, you people aren't good enough to carry a title, you know, even Rusev winning it and renaming it the Russian Heavyweight Championship. That'd even be funny. So that's one. The other person would be Bray Wyatt. I think that Sheamus and Bray Wyatt could have some really good chemistry. Sheamus has the build, has the ability to fight against Rowan Harper as well, because the bro kick is so snappy and so potent. So those are two people that I think Sheamus could have successful feuds with before the end of the year.
Yeah, before the end of the year. And like you said, Rusev, he's got he doesn't really have much. All he has is Lana and Putin and whatever else is going on with him. But I think him and Sheamus could really build some momentum together. And it's something that why hasn't the WWE thought about this yet? How come they haven't really measured what they can do with Rusev. I mean, Rusev has potential. They're just not making him what he can be or what he should be. But somebody with Sheamus, and again, Sheamus can just make almost anybody look golden. Keep that. They know that he can do that. So let's just keep that going. Rusev has a lot to prove yet. He's fairly new. I haven't given up on him yet. I hope no one else has either. And no one's going to give up on Sheamus. So let's keep that. Let's have him go for a run at the U.S. title and see where it goes.
And we'll get to the Rusev Russian medal ceremony here in a bit. Yeah, I have my fair share on that. On a more lousy note, Ryback so defeats the Rhodes Brothers, and after the match, Cody tells Goldust that he needs a better tag team partner, and he walks to the back. What's up with that? I mean, why spend the time? Now it's just not a good time. And making the Rhodes brothers split. I guess the defense to that would be pushing them for a SummerSlam match, which the Rhodes brothers at SummerSlam, it's not horrible, but at the same time, the train has long gone with the interest in a Rhodes Brothers feud. It's long gone. I think they missed the boat with, instead of having them go against each other, I think that them as a tag team was so polished and so fluid that they didn't want to break them up, which I agreed. Going into WrestleMania, I was expecting them to go against each other, but eventually I was like, oh, no, I want them to stay together because their team is so fluid. However, they missed the boat. I mean, they really, really missed the boat. They missed the bus on, since they didn't have a good spot for them at WrestleMania, instead of just putting them in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, they didn't even have to have somebody turn heel. They could have had, you know, them lose a couple times and both be babyface, both be cheered and say, okay, well, you know, here's my opportunity, brother. I love you. You know, this is my dream to face you at WrestleMania. And that could have been a match. It didn't have to have some long, drawn out, just, you know, overkill of a feud. I mean, they could have worked a good feud with them, but since they wanted them as a team, they could have had that happen on an episode of Raw or SmackDown or Main Event or whatever you want to have it on. Cody Rhodes says, you know, I've always had a dream ever since I was a little kid. I wanted to go against my brother at SummerSlam. And he could have cut a promo that would have made that match very interesting, even with both of them as faces. But they dropped the ball, and now they're trying to do something now, and it's just too late.
It's way too late. And there's nothing that's going to come out of this Team Rhodes anymore. I mean, it was a few weeks ago you and I were talking about how great this is going to be, and this can like really propel them. I think it's just going to kind of destroy them now. If anything, right back, some might have came out on top, which is a shame. It's disgusting. But Team Rhodes, individually, they are just so profound wrestlers and entertainers, especially Goldust, Cody Rhodes. The boat's kind of passed. It's done. It's over. They're just there for just kind of the filler. And I hate to say that. They need to do more with them, but they're not going to. Or at least I don't foresee that anytime soon. Not good business, for sure.
Samba Simba. Who was that? Again, Samba Simba. One more time before I hand it over to the trivia question killer, Derek, our Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent. Next, we have Rusev defeating Big E. See, oh man, this hurts me. This really hurts me because I really think that they could have done something with Big E. They really, really could have done something with Big E. Now they have, you know, the he's waving the American flag. You know, he is from Tampa, Florida. People, you know, he has Jamaican roots, but he really is American born. He was born in Tampa, Florida, so he can, you know, he rightfully does represent the United States. So, and I heard, I mean, I see the USA chants. I tweeted about this. I tweeted that, well, I named the Biggie angle in my tweet, and I still think that there's a Biggie angle type of feel in Big E right now, and I really, really, really like it. And he's waving the white flag. He's getting the he's getting the USA pops, and his ability to throw down in the ring. I think it could work. I really, really, really think it could totally work. And I really want this Big E angle feel. I really want it to stay with it. I think Rusev and Big E can have a good feud. I really wish that the WWE didn't use Big E as a stepping stone for Rusev. I wish that they could trade victories. A tap out, like we saw on Payback, the fact that Big E tapped out to the accolade, a.k.a. the camel clutch, I think that was a bad idea. I really wish it would have been something like a kick or the super kick that he did to sweep him off or get him off kilter, and he would have lost that way. A tap out by Big E was just a bad idea. The flag, the American singlet, they could, I mean, he's a suplex machine. They could have had, right now, Big E, he's only 28, he could be the black Kurt Angle. And I think it could work. Him coming out with the USA, and they really could push him as a really, really solid upper mid-card babyface. But only thing they did was feed him to Rusev, and I think that's a horrible decision. The match on Payback was good, but to feed him to Rusev, oh, just such a bad idea, and it really dilutes the potential that we can see from Big E. Totally not a fan of it.
No, not a fan of it at all. And I mean, the losing to the Camel Clutch, what is this, 1985? It just doesn't. We've gone past that. You can't just put a camel clutch on somebody. DDT, you've seen so many people get up from it. It doesn't really make any sense anymore. And especially with Big E, somebody as big as Big E, he's a good match with Rusev. I mean, they both have the same power, almost the same body type. They would be great together. But this was just all of a sudden, are you kidding? He went down this easy? Big E Langston? No way. It does not make any sense. And it's one of those things where you want Rusev, like I said earlier, just a few minutes ago, you want Rusev to really have some power in the WWE, somebody you can really get behind, become a huge heel. But this just kind of waters him down a bit. This makes him almost, like I said, just, you know, 20 years ago that would have worked. Right now, not so much.
Absolutely. Then we get Kofi Kingston defeating Bo Dallas. Well, actually, in my dreams. What really happened was the match not even starting because Kane coming in and totally demolishing Kofi Kingston, who, by the way, was the pre-show announcer. So he couldn't even stay in the booth. Like, that's the really bad thing about Kofi Kingston these days. You think he can get away with not getting just mollywopped by being behind the booth. But what makes it so bad is not only is he in the – that's like Alex Riley returning for a match. Or someone like Jason – what's his name now? Jason Well, A-Train, whatever his name is now, whatever his commentating name is, like Jason Alberts. Yeah, I think it's Jason Alberts. By the way, he's doing a good job at commentating. But that's like him coming back. That's like him commentating and then all of a sudden being a part of a match the same night. It just makes absolutely no sense. They're really just doing so wrong with Kofi Kingston. And I understand the fact that he had tweets about Stephanie McMahon's decisions with Brie Bella and the whole thing with Daniel Bryan deciding. And that's why it came out, because he's still the hired gun for Stephanie McMahon. I get it. Michael Cole did a good job explaining that. Because at first I said, what in the world is this? But is it really worth taking away valuable pay-per-view time to tease a match between Kofi Kingston and Bo Dallas? Granted, mind you, a match that we don't want to see anyways. At least speaking for myself, and I'm sure a lot of people will agree. But not only do you tease a match that I don't want to see, you have Kane come out and just totally demolish Kofi Kingston. Like, that couldn't have happened on a Raw or a pre-show or during when he was in the booth or something like that. Why would you waste valuable time just to further prove to us how invaluable Kofi Kingston is? Okay, listen, WWE, we get it. Kofi Kingston's invaluable. Now, you're putting insult to injury, and you're basically insulting your audience by saying, okay, not only do you know how invaluable Kofi Kingston is, we're going to prove it to you even more. And at this point, Kofi Kingston would do better. I would say either keep him at NXT. Like, I would put Kofi at this point right now. I would put Kofi Kingston in NXT. I would actually even make him feud with Adrian Neville, and they would put on some fantastic matches. I'd even have him vie for the NXT championship. Turn heel in NXT. Do something. But just don't be in the WWE ring anymore. Even him as a commentator, I've listened to his commentating. His commentating is not even bad. So either you be a guy, if you want a WWE job, according to me, if you want to keep a WWE job and not be such a laughing stock to everybody who watches you, you either stay behind the booth, the commentating booth, or you go to NXT and you just light it up in NXT. Otherwise, as long as you step in WWE rings, main event, Raw, SmackDown, whatever you want to be, as long as you do that, Kofi Kingston, you are irrelevant.
Kofi Kingston, I almost forget who he is, but I don't. I understand. Now, why'd Kane come out and just beat him up? This does not make any sense for Kane. I love Kane. However, you know, delicious for that to be his, you know, kind of debut or whatever. Ridiculous. I'm with you. It does not make any sense whatsoever. Delicious. Maybe he could feud with Adam, and maybe they could have something going on. Who knows? Adam Rose, Bo-licious. They could be the next tag team. Mark my words. Will they be the next tag team in the tag team division in WWE just because they have nothing else to do with these two?
I surely hope not. I think that Bo Dallas is he's a Wailing Mercy ripoff to me. And I can chuckle a couple times with the gimmick. I can do it a couple times. The very fact that he hugs and shakes the hands of people that he defeats, I think that is funny, honestly. But it's not funny enough to keep his character alive. And come on now. He's a mid-card guy, and he's in a WWE atmosphere that will just chew him up and spit him out real quick. Axe Fandango. Next we have Bad News Barry. I had to throw that one in there. I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Bad News Barry defeating RVD. I think that was a good match. I was trying to compare it to the other mid-card match, Sheamus and Cesaro. I don't think it was as hard-hitting. I don't think it was exciting as Sheamus and Cesaro. It was more predictable. I think the predictability factor hurt it because there was absolutely no way the RVD was going to beat Bad News Barrett. There were some cliffhangers that made it seem like RVD was going to win, but at the end of the day, there's no way that he was going to win. But predictability factor aside, the match was good, and so I'm okay with the match as far as what we saw.
Yeah, it was a decent match. I was good. RVD put on a great show as well as Wade Barrett. And Wade Barrett, RVD, are equally matched. I mean, RVD obviously is a veteran. He knows what he's doing more than Wade Barrett. But Wade Barrett has the grasp now that RVD had a few years ago. RVD, he should stay in the WWE, be a mainstay. He's always going to put on a good show. That's the thing about RVD that I love so much. He just really knows how to put on a great show. Wade Barrett, that was his night. But hats off to RVD. Wade Barrett, he's going to go on. Let's see him feud with the Rusev and maybe with Cesaro. Let's see what that can go to.
Barrett and Rusev, two heels, I'll pass. Barrett and Cesaro, that'll be a good feud, but they're both mid-card champs, so I think you should keep them apart from each other. But they had a match on SmackDown, which is really good, and Sheamus won, so it would work if one of them was not a champ. And then we see Daniel Bryan, Brie Bella, Stephanie McMahon segment where it was an ultimatum for Daniel Bryan to give up the title or not, and just a waste of time. He couldn't wrestle, and so basically, as a result of not being able to wrestle, they had to consume all of that time by having this segment here. So eventually what we see is Brie Bella quitting. I don't know if she just found out she was pregnant in real life. I don't know if she wanted to take some time off because of being burned out. I really don't know. I know this is – I'm sure that this is for storyline purposes because she's going to be on season 3 of Total Divas. So I was thinking about that. Like, okay, so the creative writers, did they even think about the fact that she's going to be on season 3 of Total Divas? So we're going to have to see Brie Bella. So she didn't quit because she's going to be on Total Divas. Now, I know that Total Divas is most of it is taped or recorded months before we see it, but still, you're still going to have that Brie Bella presence, you know, and dealing with the WWE. So I know this quitting is for storyline, but to be honest with you, what's the payoff? Are we going to see Brie Bella join the Authority? Are we going to see a Brie Bella Stephanie McMahon match? Neither of those am I interested in.
I'm not interested in either. That's just ridiculous. It's a time waster. I mean, they're just trying to do something with Daniel Bryan while he's still incapacitated for the match and just cannot wrestle. Other than that, Stephanie McMahon asked Bryan to surrender the belt. Brie Bella quits, slaps Stephanie. You know, that's great. You can't slap your boss, but that always makes a very good headline for the world of wrestling. So we'll just know that it's something that Daniel Bryan has to be a part of something. He has to be a part of something while he is recovering from surgery. God bless him. We'll just have to take for what it is and keep Stephanie in the forefront as long as Brie Bella.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Then the last man standing match between John Cena and Bray Wyatt. I'll tell you what, I'm okay, and this is saying a lot for me. I'm okay with Cena winning this match because I've stressed many times, Bray Wyatt, John Cena, no chemistry. Again, Bray Wyatt, John Cena, no chemistry. And I tweeted about this during the match, well, right after the match. I said it's interesting how John Cena was supposed to this Bray Wyatt feud with John Cena was meant to push him, and he got buried. And that's, I mean, he literally got buried underneath that box. And the other box just on top of him, and John Cena standing tall. Now, I'm sure you have all the critics saying, you know, why would Cena do this? But to be honest with you, if Bray Wyatt won, to me, it wouldn't have done much for him, because this feud has been so just, it's been exhausting. It's been so exhausting to me that I don't see, whether Bray won or lost, I don't see some type of big push or big step in his career. I just really don't see that. And I'm happy that Cena won, because to me it was symbolic of the feud being a failure. That's what I saw with John Cena winning and them saying, okay, well, just didn't work as much as we wanted to. We even had a WrestleMania match between the two. And this is the third straight pay-per-view that they fought against each other. You have WrestleMania, Extreme Rules, and Payback. This is the fifth straight pay-per-view that they've been involved in a feud, because the beginning of the feud was when Cena was attacked at the Royal Rumble after his match with him and Orton. And then, of course, he was attacked again the next month at the Elimination Chamber. So they've been feuding the entire year. And there's no type of positive, optimistic takeaways that I can get from this feud that says, okay, yeah, well, Bray Wyatt's ready for the next step. He's ready. He was in a feud with Cena, and now Wyatt's ready. No, I don't see it. The chemistry was off. There was just something lacking. It just didn't click. And it was a testament to me. It was a testament by John Cena standing tall, winning the Last Man Standing match. It was a testament to saying, well, this feud didn't go as good as we wanted it to, and so let's just have Cena save the day.
Yeah, Cena saved the day. That's about all he could do. As far as you come with Bray Wyatt, there's no way. The feud's been over. It's been done. It's been boring. Nobody can do anything to save this. I mean, both of them are bored with it. But what else do you do with these guys? I mean, they're just in a stalemate at the moment, and you need to revive. I mean, something with Cena. I mean, he's still a main character. I mean, he is what's carrying the WWE. And you got Bray Wyatt, up-and-comer, who's still trying to find his way, and just, it did not work with John Cena. Let's try something else. I don't know what that other thing is. Have them feud with The Shield again? I don't know. The Shield's still in a pretty big role with the Evolution. We'll talk about that here in a bit. Don't want to be a spoiler. But anyway,
right. Just
not good programming, and it's, again, everybody's bored with it. There's just no passion behind it. There's no art. There's no sincerity.
Yeah, I agree. And I really don't want to see more of Cena Wyatt. I just don't. And here's the thing. I'm like a default Cena advocate. And again, I'm not going to say that with any type of boastfulness, but there's certain times where I'm just like, okay, have Cena take the win just to get this feud over with. And that's how I felt. Just by default, I wanted Cena to win. And as we're going to get to Raw in a minute, I was happy that Cena came out during the Stephanie McMahon promo, because to me, that was just kind of like a this feud's over with type of thing. But it still didn't leave a sense of certainty about Cena Wyatt, because Wyatt wasn't there. There was nobody in the chair. And I really don't want to see some type of number one contenders match between John Cena and somebody, and then the lights go off and it's Bray Wyatt. I just don't want to see that. I really hope we don't. Paige defeating Alicia Fox. Alicia Fox with her new going crazy gimmick. It's, you know, it gives her some shine. It's some type of love. You know, she's been around for a while now, and she's just kind of been under the rocks. And now she had an opportunity to show some type of personality. Although it's extremely loony, at least she's a heel. I mean, she's not bad in the ring. At least she's a heel that can work with Paige. I'm a big fan of Paige, huge fan of Paige. To be only 21 years old, like I said this before, to be only 21 years old, she's got some UK roots in wrestling, and that's one of the reasons why she's getting pushed so early in her life, because she's been around wrestling as far as a lineage of wrestling for a while. But I like it, though. I like Paige. I like the music. I like the look. I like just the ability that she has. And to be only 21 years old, I mean, just WrestleMania 40, she'll only be 31. WrestleMania 50, she'll only be 41 years old. So just to say in WrestleMania 50, she'll be 41 years old and probably still wrestling or just finishing up wrestling at WrestleMania 50, whoa, that says a lot as far as the career of Paige. She has so much ahead of her, and I think they're doing a good job really showcasing her in the Divas division. And finally, there's a Divas division that I care about, really.
You know, Paige is... You mentioned it. She's somebody wonderful. She's going to have a big career in the WWE. Alicia Fox, she submitted last night. I kind of see that. Temper tantrums and all, still kind of lame. But with Paige, oh, man. I mean, she has – where's AJ Lee? Remember her? We haven't talked about her for a while. Her and Paige are just going to have a blowout match. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be awesome. But Alicia Fox, again, with the temper tantrums, kind of bored with it. But Paige has really blown a lot of good life into the Divas Championship that they need, the Divas Division. Good job, WWE. Finally, Derek says, hey, Divas Championship. Okay.
Record this, episode 104. It took you 114 episodes. It took you 2 years and 2 months to say something positive in that regard when it comes to the Divas division. But to be honest with you, I don't blame you. I try to be as neutral as I can with my journalistic mind, and of course my WWE fan mind intercepts that a lot just because I'm such an avid fan. But when I approach a piece, I try to be as neutral as I can. And on the show, of course, you know, this is my show, so I can shoot, you know, however I want, but at least I try to shoot with meaning. And if something's just bad, it's worth shooting about. And the Divas division has been just bad. I mean, it's been bad. And I agree with you. I totally agree with you, Derek. I think they've done a really good job, and I'm okay with it. Real quick, Shield defeating Evolution. I think the bigger talk, and we'll get to the bigger talk on Raw, the very fact that they defeated them 3-0, I guess it all panned out on Raw. We'll get to that in a minute. But, the thing is, I don't want to talk about this match so much because I don't want to spoil my thoughts on the end of Raw. But as far as this match on Payback is concerned, a lot of people have touted how good it was. I really don't think it was that good of a match. I think that it was decent. I think their match at Extreme Rules was much, much better than this match. Because we saw the Shield get beat up for most of the match, and then Seth Rollins diving off the Tron, and then that kind of being the pivotal moment in the match, and then they're beating Evolution, and they beat them 3-0. And I think it would have been much more suspenseful if it was a 1-on-1 final, but it was almost consecutive. It was almost like – it seemed like it was about 5 minutes apart where the Shield was getting beat up, and all of a sudden the turnaround, they get back in the ring. Batista gets eliminated by Rollins, and then Ambrose gets eliminated by Orton gets eliminated by Ambrose, and then at the end, Roman Reigns spears Triple H and pins him. It just seemed like they were running out of time, and they just hurried up and did it. I think it wasn't a very good. It wasn't as good as people say it was. I wasn't a big fan of it. It wasn't a bad match, but I think it was an overrated match, and I think that the booking style of the match was quite odd and a bit boring.
It was very boring. I mean, the match itself, yeah, like you said, I mean, the Shield just got constantly beat up and beat up and beat up, and it was like there was no way they're going to rebound from this. And they did, miraculously. And miraculously, whatever. That's what my point is. And it just does not... It just kind of killed what the match could have been, like you said. Could have been one against one. I mean, the Shield or Evolution was knocked out 1-2-3. It was done. Are you kidding me? I mean, there's no. This could have been such a great match. I even predicted last week that Evolution probably would have won just to keep the feud going, and it didn't happen. But that almost would have looked better than what happened at Payback.
Indeed. All right, let's get to Raw. Samba Simba's Tony Atlas, by the way, wanted to start off that question because of the Legends House. Yeah, now you say it. Next question is, what was the – matter of fact, this question goes – chat room, hold off for a second. Twitter, hold off for a second. This match this goes to Derek. What was Earthquake known as when he debuted? What was Earthquake known as when he debuted?
John Tenta.
Yeah, looks like I stumped him. He was known as the Canadian Earthquake. Come on.
Well, that Earthquake, obviously. Are you serious? Canadian Earthquake, same thing.
It wasn't the same thing.
Earthquake.
No way. No.
Or the Canadian Earthquake.
The Canadian Earthquake is different than Earthquake. It was different.
Canadian Earthquakes, are they better than U.S. Earthquakes? Is that what you're trying to say?
I think that's what you're trying to say. I think that's your point. I think that you're making it very clear that Canadian Earthquakes are more dangerous than American Earthquakes. I don't want to ever experience that, but I think that you are saying that Canada's better than the States.
Well, that's some things, maybe. But the Canadian Earthquake,
I've never been
to Canada. NWA.
I've never been to Canada. I desire to go soon. Our boy Julio from Bleach Report has been featured guest for us a couple times. He's from Montreal, so he's in the roots. He's in the heart of Canada, from Quebec. He's from the Rougeaux. We had a special chat room giving Julio a special shout out. We'll have him back on the show. I'm giving all types of people some love. Armand, Julio. Let's give Ryan Fuqua some love. He's one of the pioneers of pancakes and power slams. He'll be on the show soon doing some columns, if you will. So yeah, special shout out to Ryan Fuqua as well. Ryan and I converse still weekly, multiple times a week about the goings on of the WWE, and he has some choice words to say about CM Punk, which he'll be on the show soon to express his views on CM Punk. So plugging wearewrestling.net, we're plugging Armand, we're plugging WrestlingInc.com, we're plugging Bleacher Report, we're plugging Julio, and you know, all of the people who support us over the past 114 episodes. So I guess this is like shout out show, the special shout out show. Andy Susek as well, from the Bleacher Report. He was a part of the show as well on one of the panelists at the at WrestleMania, the WrestleMania show. Another shout out I want to do, actually, Evan Prout, under the Mat Radio. He's a good guy. He has a show, Under the Mat Radio, that airs from 6 to 8 p.m. On Tuesdays. And we're definitely going to be continuing to partner with each other. We're building a good business relationship, and good guy. He's techie. He actually has some really good interviews. The last interview he had was Mason Ryan. So check out Under the Mat Radio on Tuesdays. Under the Mat Radio, and go Google Under Mat Radio for more of that. He, like I said, he has some really, really good interviews and some really good take on wrestling. He'll be on the show sooner than later, and we'll continue to partner up and just. I'm really thankful for all the connections that the show has allowed me to have. And he basically one day emailed me an interview to post on the wrestling.com, and you know, we built a good business relationship from there. So yeah, Evan Prout, check him out, Under the Mat Radio, and Tuesdays from 6 to 8, and we'll be having some fun linking up with Under the Mat Radio for a big Tuesday mega show. So check that out. We'll be having that here soon. All right, next we have our question. What event did Dino Bravo break the bench press record? What event did Dino Bravo break the bench press record, Derek?
SummerSlam 1988.
SummerSlam 1988.
What kind of question is that?
To take away the to steal the secret squirrel. I think it was a small cartoon segment on Secret Squirrel. I think it was, or it might have been. I think it was either Secret Squirrel. Or some other cartoon, I remember. I don't remember where it is offhand. But the guy said, I think you may remember that. I think you may remember this segment when the guy said, "Well, isn't that cute? But it's wrong." It was Two Stupid Dogs. That's what it was. It was the big mean guy on Two Stupid Dogs. When somebody would say something, he would say, "Well, isn't that cute? But it's wrong." And I think that's absolutely funny. And that's very apropos for this moment right now. Isn't that cute? But it's wrong. No more guesses?
Yep.
I'll give you some time to think about it. SummerSlam 1998 is the incorrect answer. All right, real quick, let's go into Raw. Let's continue with Raw here. We have Evolution in-ring promo. Batista interrupts Triple H, demands a World Heavyweight Title Championship match. Triple H says he won't get anything until the Shield is extinct, and then Batista quits. I think that was a good idea because, of course, he's going to be out promoting his Marvel movie, and we'll see him before WrestleMania. So that was a good way to write him off. Next, we get Sheamus and RVD defeating Bad News Barrett and Cesaro. One thing that I'm not liking what the WWE is doing again, Bad News Barrett is starting to get a little bit losses underneath his column. He lost cleanly on SmackDown. He lost again last night. Tisk tisk. I don't know how I feel about that. WWE. How about Damian Sandow as Lance Stevenson? Larry Bird, after the Pacers lost, Larry Bird talks about how Lance Stevenson is a free agent and he desires to have him still, but we don't know the future of Lance Stevenson and the Indiana Pacers. But Damian Sandow comes out and has a segment with the Big Show, who returns from a little hiatus. So the question is, okay, all these parodies that Damian Sandow is having is funny, but one, does it really take them anywhere? And two, what do you think about a Big Show and Rusev feud?
Big Show and Rusev would be good. And the Damian Sandow parodies kind of reminds me of what the Big Show used to do not too long ago. And that would be great. I almost kind of forgot about the Big Show. I haven't seen him for a while, but he's been a crybaby for the last few times we did see him, so
yeah.
Big whoop on that. But I can see that going. Big Show, Rusev. Big Show should ultimately win because he's a bigger guy. But again, this could be Rusev's opportunity to kind of make a name for himself a little bit.
Yeah, but the thing is with that, the Big Show is just putting people. I mean, he's just he would do it just to put over Rusev, though. And I'm still not sold on that. That's the only thing. I just am not sold on doing that. But I understand that he's a vet in the business and he has to put people, you know, he's putting people over now. I just don't know how I feel about Rusev, though. That's the only thing. Bo Dallas defeating Kofi Kingston. What's new, Derek?
There's nothing new. Kofi Kingston, who cares? Again, Bo Dallas, it's been such a horrible introduction for this guy. I don't think anybody really cares. I really don't. I'm not excited to see this guy. I don't think anyone else is, especially someone against Kofi Kingston. He's just been trampled and walked all over for the past couple years.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Stephanie McMahon entering promo. She announces two options, either one, if Daniel Bryan is able to compete in Money in the Bank, he'll go against Kane in the stretcher match, which is different than their rumored Buried Alive match that they were supposed to be in. And, again, I just don't see Daniel Bryan pushing Kane in a stretcher. That would be such an embarrassment for Kane. I mean, there's not many things that we haven't seen that's been embarrassing for Kane's career. But if he has Daniel Bryan push him out on the stretcher, that's to say that to look at Kane's career now and still say lowest of lows, it's almost impossible to imagine Kane still being anything happening to Kane still be considered the lowest of lows. But I think that rolling him out on a stretcher by Daniel Bryan would be the lowest of lows. The other stipulation would be having the Money in the Bank match for the title, which makes absolutely no sense, because it wouldn't be Money in the Bank. It would just be a ladder match. So it makes absolutely no sense to me. This whole segment was dumb to me. Cena comes out, goes back and forth with Stephanie McMahon. Only thing that led to was a match against Kane, which he won by disqualification, which of course Super Cena to the rescue. He actually gets the advantage over Kane, who was supposed to look intimidating, but Cena still gets the advantage and throws the steps at him. This whole segment was poorly booked. First of all, you come out with two weird options of Daniel Bryan, whether he stays or he goes. And then you have John Cena still look like a champ, still look strong. Why don't you just lay Cena out? I mean, what is that going to hurt? I mean, you're supposed to make Kane look dominant, but Cena still gets the advantage. That's why people don't like John Cena. I just don't like that moment at all. And my suggestion, I wouldn't have Daniel Bryan go at all, actually. I would have a Money in the Bank match Actually, I would have two Money in the Bank matches at the pay-per-view because they usually have one. They usually have two, because before December there were still two titles. I would still have two Money in the Bank matches. I would have one Money in the Bank match for one case, the other Money in the Bank match for another case, and the two people with the cases being forced to cash it in that night against each other, or not necessarily cashing in, but having some type of ultimate Money in the Bank winner. So two cases being pulled into it, the main event being for the ultimate Money in the Bank case. And then the winner of that would have been able to cash it in throughout the year. Just saying, if Daniel Bryan's unable to compete, the match is going to be for the title. That's not, that just defeats the entire purpose of the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view won't be called Money in the Bank. It should be called Ladder Match. And I just didn't like it. It made no sense. I think that the WWE creative staff could be much more creative. And I think it would have given an opportunity for Cody Rhodes, for Goldust, for even a Zack Ryder. I know that's a stretch. But even someone like a Rusev or a Barrett, Cesaro, Sheamus, even Orton, people from The Shield, Show. If you have like a six-man, Ziggler is another person, Big E. If you have six man apiece in each match, that's 12 men that could have had an opportunity to shine at a pay-per-view like Money in the Bank. But instead, you're probably going to have like a 6 to 8 man match for the title, which defeats the purpose. I think the two Money in the Bank matches for two cases and then for an ultimate case being the main event, that would take us away from paying attention to having the main event match be a title match, but actually really honing in on the pay-per-view name and the concept of the match.
A concept of the match, and it's just, they narrow it down to so few people that there's a so wide variety of people they could use to make this pay-per-view work. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, keeping Kane in the picture, he's like Big Show. They just put people over. You have John Cena come in, saves the day. Big deal. Dolph Ziggler, if he's going to give up the titles, I mean, they need to do something with him. They have a whole array of people that they could just absolutely make this pay-per-view so stellar, make it better than WrestleMania, better than Survivor Series, WrestleMania, or Royal Rumble. It doesn't matter. And they just don't do it. I mean, you've got Dolph Ziggler, Cesaro. I mean, all these people could take a run for the money when it comes to Money in the Bank. But again, they just narrow it down to so few, and it's just so far-fetched and wide-range. Do something with yourselves.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. All right, let's get on to the next, which was Los Matadors defeating 3MB. Yikes. Enough already with this feud. Alicia Fox and Oksana defeating Nikki Bella. That actually goes more toward your Divas opinion of just waste of space. And then you have my boy, Adam Rose, defeating Jack Swagger. Poor Jack Swagger, though. I mean, I'm a big Adam Rose fan. I'm okay with Jack Swagger losing to Adam Rose. But Jack Swagger, I mean, just with Zeb Coulter still, but he's still losing. What's next for Swagger?
Nothing. Nothing's next for Swagger. I mean, it's just a throwaway time killer. Let's do what we can to push Adam Rose, and hopefully something can come good out of We the People.
Yeah, the only thing we're going to get from We the People is a unanimous, you know, chant when Zeb Coulter says something about it. Otherwise, nothing. Absolutely nothing. What's so significant about Royal Rumble 1988, Derek?
What about Royal Rumble 1988?
Yeah, what's so significant about that pay-per-view?
I saw Jim Duggan one. Duggan.
True. Duggan. What else?
It was the first Royal Rumble.
Yep. Anything else? One more thing.
7-84-8452.
No, that's not it. The call number is 347-884-8452, but that's not it. What's so significant about Royal Rumble 1988 is it was the event that Dino Bravo broke the bench press record. Come on. Since Royal Rumble of 1988. That's since when.
I get it now.
Yeah, that was the answer to the question. Yeah,
because I just watched the Royal Rumble 1988 yesterday, so I should have known that. Sorry.
Yeah, that would be something interesting to watch on the network. I've been on the network. I've been watching. I like the Beyond the Ring shows. I watched about half of the Jericho. Show that they had with the documentary between WrestleMania 25 and 26 with the build up to him against the Legends and then him and Edge. And of course I've watched Legends House. I'll probably get into it, but not really into it as much as other people are. Watch some Clash of the Champions episodes. I think that's probably the most recent things that I've watched on the network. I haven't watched many. The most recent thing I watched was NXT TakeOver as far as live shows. Well, actually, no. The most recent thing I watched on the network was Payback. But as far as just the classic stuff, Clash of Champions, and I tweeted this. I wonder why, and I guess it's just a matter of opening up that library and getting, you know, doing all the business, legal stuff they have to do, but I'm waiting for the entire series of Saturday Night's Main Event. We have to have Saturday Night's Main Event on the WWE Network. I'm so surprised that we don't have it on the network. And so that's my little network talk for tonight. And onward we go with Rowan Harper defeating the Usos. Of course, we're probably going to see this at Money in the Bank. I'm okay with this feud. It gives Rowan Harper something to do other than being in the shadows of Bray Wyatt, especially since Bray Wyatt is, well, they're talking about they built him to return on SmackDown. But at least it gives Rowan Harper something to do independently, away from just being Bray Wyatt's lackeys. I'm not so sure if they should win the tag team titles. It's just one of those things that there's certain teams that you should really, there's certain individuals and certain tag teams that you should really push as being the future and being such an established tag team, one of the best ever. I think you can do things like that by having long title reigns. Significant long title reigns, not a Dean Ambrose reign, a CM Punk reign, 434 days. He competed. It was a heel turn. You know, he had some mega matches. I still wasn't locked in CM Punk's title reign, though. It was just still something about his title reign that didn't click to me. But if the Usos, they won it right before Mania, and they've had it for about 2.5 months now. So if the Usos keep the title for another 6 months or so, 8 months, I would be totally fine with that because we need long title reigns to really push people in that sense as being one of the greatest of this time.
You've liked the Usos for a long time since they started. The Usos are starting to grow on me. So yeah, I'd like to see the titles be on them for a while. Make more legitimacy behind the tag team title, behind the Intercontinental title, U.S. title, whatever. But, yeah, have them perform. Have them actually defend the title. Make it worth their while. That's what the titles are about. Let's make somebody shine. Make them show their talent. This is why we put the belts on them, because they can keep this thing going for a while. So I'd be totally happy with that, and I hope that's the case. I hope that happens. And the Usos really have my vote. As far as being title contenders, I can carry the championship. until someone else worthy comes along to make a great feud.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. Absolutely. All right, next we have Alberto Del Rio defeating Dolph Ziggler, qualifying for the Money in the Bank ladder match. Poor Dolph Ziggler. I mean, just it's really sad for him. He's just really became a nobody. I mean, what is the WWE doing with this guy? He should be in the Money in the Bank match. He's won the Money in the Bank. As a matter of fact, he won the Money in the Bank last year. And it led to, well, he won 2 years ago, and it led to him and Cena in December of 2013, well, 2012. And so, yeah, he won the 2012 Money in the Bank, well, the SmackDown version, but for some reason they're giving him absolutely no love. I just don't like what I see with that. And then we have Ryback, so defeating Goldust and a mystery partner, and he does the point, the suspense comes up, and then all of a sudden, no, it's not the Great Khali, no, it's not Hacksaw Jim Duggan, no, it's not Sting, it's Sin Cara.
Yeah, Sin Cara, I was so disappointed. I just wanted to punch myself in the face and everybody that was in charge of that gimmick and angle. Come on now. Another time waster. The WWE has nothing else to do but waste everyone's time with boring show product. They have so much talent. Chris!
Yeah. Speaking of boring show product, they actually spent some time without any type of interference by anybody to start with another feud. They actually spent time doing a formal Russian medal ceremony for Rusev. What a time waster.
I've never been so bored in my life. I barely know who Rusev is. He's been out for like a month now, and all of a sudden they want to dedicate all this time to him. I understand wanting to build up your characters. Do that while they're in the ring, while they have opponents to actually wrestle, show their talent, and showcase against. The whole medal ceremony, did I turn the channel? Probably. I just kind of slipped my mind. I don't know. It was so mind-boggling, and just I was bored with it. Nothing. I expect much better on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then lastly, we have the Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton. Here we go. We don't have much time to talk about this, and I'm sure that we'll talk about it more next week because we're going to really quickly tackle the flavor of the week. We're just going to mention them and do some quick takeaways. But I think this is worth talking about for just a few minutes, and we'll go back. We'll go more on it next week because I'm sure to unfold a lot more. Next week, this week was just to create the cliffhanger. It was supposed to be Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton. We get a no contest. Why do we get a no contest? Because Triple H talks about this plan B. Always got to have a plan B. So he has a sledgehammer, looking for the plan B. Orton comes out next to Triple H. The Shield's in the ring. All of a sudden, as Triple H is talking, which this is quite odd because they did like a hard camera shot on Seth Rollins as he was getting a chair, which made it a little bit odd and a little less surprising. But it was still surprising all in all, but a little less surprising. So all of a sudden, plan B, plan B, plan B. And what is plan B? Seth Rollins bending a chair over Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. He makes the turn. He goes with Evolution, or if Evolution is still around, still technically. But he goes with Triple H and Orton, makes the heel turn. I think that Rollins was the worst decision. Ambrose would have been a perfect fit. He's a natural heel. Even Reigns is a face, and they should push him as a face. He's the future. Even he would have been a better decision to get a little bit more face pops and making a heel turn and going against the authority because he's getting mistreated, blah, blah, blah. You could have even done that route. But Rollins is a natural babyface. He's going to get buried in this angle, and he's going to get lost in it, and he's not a strong enough heel to really hold his own with Triple H and Randy Orton. It's just, it was a bad choice, and it's not going to help Rollins.
Not going to help him at all. That was a horrible choice. Doggone it. I want the Shield. Maybe this is a plot for the Shield to finally wipe out Evolution, I hope, because of what a horrible decision it was to make Rollins part of Evolution. Let's carry on.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. All right, real quick, we'll get to our flavor of the week. This week is five shows that, in the past 20 years, that has been as popular as Raw. So five of the greatest shows. We're just going to do our takeaways. Only got a couple minutes. What we came down to was Nitro, of course, Monday Night Wars, Clash of the Champions, Saturday Night's Main Event, SmackDown, and the NWA, or the World Championship Wrestling show, the Saturday Night Show in NWA. Now, I guess you can merge that into WCW Saturday Night, because the NWA World Championship Wrestling is technically over 20 years ago. And so we can do the WCW, it kind of grandfathers over to the WCW Saturday Night. WCW Saturday Night was the mothership show, or as Dusty Rhodes would say, the mothership. Yeah, every time he would say that on WCW Saturday Night, I thought it was absolutely hilarious. It eventually became some type of knockoff, you know, hard work Bobby Walker against Mark Starr type thing. But I think all of those other four shows, especially Clash of Champions and Nitro, of course, says it all. And Saturday Night's Main Event really paved the way for a Raw and a Nitro to be as popular as it is now. Those shows were just absolutely amazing.
Oh, they were amazing. WCW Saturday Night, usually you got to see the debut of somebody. Maybe a month or two later, they'd be on Nitro or Thunder. Saturday Night's Main Event was the cream of the crop, made what everything is in wrestling now. It was just celebrity. It was fun. I mean, just, you could not wait. All you would see was just jobbers against wrestlers, but then you would see wrestler against wrestler. It would build to the pay-per-views. I mean, they built the blueprint for Monday Night Raw and just to build up the pay-per-views. Saturday Night's Main Event.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, 114 episodes under our belt, and the hope is to do 114 more. We will just continue to make this show one of the hottest shows of the week, the new Tuesday Night Titans. Expect more interviews in our interview series. Expect more roundtable discussions. We have so much in line for the coming weeks. We got some really good surprises, some really good stuff. Continue to tune in, continue to support Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling, on Facebook, follow the Facebook Crave Wrestling page. It has all types of fun stuff. I'm going to pick back up on the fun Who's Under the Mask trivia, so that'll be very fun and very interesting. We had some fun with that about a year ago. Within a year ago and last year, end of last year as well. Well, the second half of last year as well. And we're just going to continue to have fun. Follow me at Crave Wrestling. At Curse Prolific is my individual account. Crave Wrestling is our Twitter account for the show. And we will just continue to have fun and continue to have the most amazing time on Tuesday nights, 90 minutes. As Derek say, 90 minutes is never enough. So come back with us for 90 more next week, God willing. And we'll be ready for 115 episodes. Until then, if you want to give on PayPal, the email address is cravewrestling@gmail.com. If you have any thoughts, concerns, Crave Wrestling. If you have any suggestions for Retro Wednesday, tweet at Crave Wrestling or email cravewrestling@gmail.com. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. Daddy loves Elijah, and have a great week. And God bless. Goodbye.